We're holding in the middle of the fourth perek in Masechta Brachos, perek Tfilas HaShachar, and we're at the bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. We were discussing the Zmanim for the different Tfilas of the day, and we had a Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav, which said that Shacharis, the Zman of Shacharis, is a Machloikis, whether the end of Shacharis is Chatzais or Dalad Shais, Mincha, whether the end of Mincha was Ha'erev or Plag HaMincha, whether Marav is Ein Lo Kva, meaning it's through the night, or whether it's at a point earlier, and Musaf is all day. Rabbi Yehuda said, Musaf is at Zayin Shais. And here we were discussing the halachas of Seif Zman Mincha. And here the Gemara had said, from the actions of Rav, we learned three things. Number one, on Erev Shabbos, one can daven Marav for Shabbos early. As we mentioned, there was a machlokes in the Mishnah, whether the Zman of Mincha is Ad HaErev, meaning until Shkia, that's the Shita of the Chachamim. According to that, Marav can then be davened from that point and on. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says that the Zman HaMincha is only up until Plag HaMincha, which is an hour and a quarter before Shkia, but one can daven Marav then right after Plag HaMincha, right after that point in time. And what this Gemara is saying is that even though normally if a person holds, like the Chachamim, that Mincha is Ad HaErev, meaning that Marav cannot be davened until after Shkia, still and all, on Erev Shabbos, if one wants, they can daven Marav before Shkia, and they can, in other words, make an early Shabbos, as long as they had daven Mincha before Plag HaMincha, so there shouldn't be a question of Tarti Desasri. Number two, from the actions of Rav, we also learned that a Talmud is allowed to daven Shmoneh Esrei behind his Rebbe if he is a Talmud Chaver. And number three, when one is davening Shmoneh Esrei, one is not allowed to pass in front of him within the Dalet Amos of this person. This is because you may disturb his tefillas, and also because the Shechina is directly in front of him, so you don't want to interrupt between him and the Shechina as he's davening Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbi Eliezer said that if someone is mispalel behind his Rebbe, or says to his Rebbe, Shalom Aleichem, but he doesn't add the words Rebbe Umari, or he doesn't ask his Rebbe Rishus to give a shir, all these cases are garim that the Shechina will leave Klal Yisrael. Now when he said before that if someone is mispalel behind his Rebbe, that's no good, Rashi explains it's because either because of Gaiva, or Taisu says it's because it looks like he's bowing down to his Rebbe. The Gemara says once a person davens Kabbalah Shabbos and Marif, even if he davens early, it becomes usur to do Malacha on Friday. But this is only if it's all done after Plag HaMincha. Shmuel says, if one makes an early Shabbos, he can also make Kiddush early as well, and eat the Suda also. And the Shulchan Aruch and Shimon and Simon Reish Samach Zayin Sif Beis paskins like this as well. If one needs to do a Devar Mitzvah, he can daven Marav early on Motzei Shabbos and make Havdalah. Of course, Malacha is usur, and even this heter is only L'Dvar Mitzvah. Whether Marav is Rishus or Chayva is a Machlaikas. Rabbi Yeshua says Marav is Rishus, Rabbi Gamliel says it's a Chayva. Taisus adds that Rishus does not mean that it's optional, but rather if someone has a different mitzvah to do, then that mitzvah may take precedent over Marav. But Stam, Marav is a Chayva. And even according to the Mandi Amar, who holds Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, it's still really a Chayva. On a number of occasions, Rabban Gamliel treated Rabbi Yeshua very harshly in the Beis Medrash, in front of the other Talmidim, and because of this they wanted to remove him from his position. So they asked, who would replace him? They said it can't be Rabbi Yeshua, because he was an Ogea Bedaver, and people might think it was a conflict of interest, so to say. Not Rabbi Akiva, because he had no Zchus Avais. How about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Mara said he would be the perfect candidate, because he's a Chacham, he's an Ashir, and he's the 10th generation from Ezra, which means he has Chus Avais. So they sent a group to ask him if he wanted to be the Rosh Hashiva. And he answered by saying, I must go and consult with my wife. She was concerned that since he was only 18 years old, he was very young at that time, and he had no white hairs, he would look too young to be a Rosh Hashiva. A nace happened on that day, and his hair turned white. And that's what's meant when we say during the Pesach Seder, when he said, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. Daf Chav Ches. On that day, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the new Rosh Yeshiva, they took away the guard from the door of the Beis HaMedrash, who Rabban Gamliel had installed. This guard used to say, any Talmud who is not Teche Kebare, meaning that his inside does not match his outside, should not enter the Beis HaMedrash. But when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Rosh Yeshiva, he opened it up for anyone to come in. And because of that, they added many benches on that day. The Gemara says that Rabban Gamliel felt bad, because of this, that maybe he may have prevented some good people from coming in to the Beis Medrash. In addition, on that day Masechta Edius was learnt, and anywhere in Shas where it says Bay Bayim, it refers to this day when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Rosh Yeshiva. And all of these shilas brought on that day, the Baibayam, were paskin in the Masechta Edius. The Gemara says, even though Amayin Umayav Asurin Lavay Bikahal Hashem, but since Sancheirev mixed up all the nations, and we don't know who is really an Amayini or a Mayavi, they can marry. Since we say the rule is called the Parish Meruba Parish, anything which is separated from its main place, we say that it comes, we have to calculate it based on Raiv, and if Raiv of the situation is one way, we can paskin that way for this thing that was separated. Since these people and many people left their main tribes, and most of the Umos in the world are allowed to marry into Bnei Yisrael, we assume that if someone comes along, he probably comes from the Raiv, not from Amayin Umayav, and therefore, like all the rest of them, he would be mutter to marry into Klal Yisrael. This is in famous contrast. The famous contrast here is to the Klal of Kol Kivua Kemechza Al Mechzadami. And the case here, the well-known case, is a case of if there are 10 meat stores in a particular city, 9 of the stores are kosher, and 1 is treif. So if one bought a piece of meat, and now he says, you know, I don't remember whether I bought it from a kosher store or a treif store, but he knows he bought from one of them. Here we say, even though rive of the stores, 9 out of the 10 stores are kosher, and only 1 is treif, we say the meat is usser, because the 10 stores are kavua, the 10 stores are set. And the rule is, kol kavua, anything that's set, ke mechza al mechzadami, even though rive of the stores are mutter, but we consider it as mechza al mechza, 50-50, and 50-50 is not a rive, therefore the meat is usser. But if a person finds a piece of meat on the street in a city that has 10 kosher stores and 1 treif store, since the meat is separated, it's parish from all the other stores, then we say, called the parish, meruba parish. We assume that since it's separated, it must have separated from the rive, and since 9 out of 10 stores are kosher, we can assume that this piece of meat is therefore kosher. The same thing here. Since the person is separated from the tribe, and we don't know where he came from, since rive of those tribes are mutter to marry, we assume he came from one of those tribes, and therefore he would be mutter to marry in as well. This entire case of Amayin Umayav was a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel had said Osir, Rabbi Yeshua had said Mutter. And Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi Yeshua for Mechila for giving him so much tsar over this issue. And since he apologized, they reinstated him as a Rosh Hashiva. Some of the weeks Rabbi Gamliel gave the shir, and some of the weeks Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave the shir. And the reason they simply couldn't take the title away from Elazar ben Azariah was because of Malin Bakaydish V'ein Meridin, because a person cannot go down in Kedusha, can only go up. And the original Talmud who asked this Shaila of Arvis, Rishus, or Chayva was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. In the Machlokes of if Zman Mincha comes and one has not davened Musaf yet, Reb Yechanan says, La Halacha, one should daven Mincha first, like a Tanakama. Taisu says, based on this, on Yom Kippur one should complete Shacharis before 6.5 hours, so we can begin Musaf before the Zman of Mincha arrives, which is Mishesha Sumechza. But the Ri argues, and says even after 6.5 hours, it's mutter to daven Musaf first. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, Simen Tav Reish Chaf, Shulchan Aruch, says it's better to try and begin Musaf before 6.5 hours, l'chatchila. But b'diavad, if 6.5 hours passes, he should still daven Musaf first, so as not to change the Seder Hayoim of Yom Kippur. The Gemara says when Rav Zera was tired of learning Torah, he would sit in front of the Beis Medrash and say, I will stand up and give kavod to the Talmidei Chachamim, in order to get reward in Olam Haba. The Chida, which is brought here in the Pesach Einayim, finds difficulty with the story of Rav Zera. First of all, he says Rav Zera was a Talmud Chacham himself, and therefore, lahalacha, he wasn't required to stand up for the Talmidim, or the Rabbeim. Secondly, the Mishnah in Avai says that one should do mitzvahs only for the sake of doing the mitzvahs to make Hashem happy, and not for receiving schar, al tiyu kavadim hamishamshin, es harav al manas kabel pras. The Chida answers that one question really cancels the other. He says that the principle of Al Tiyu Kavadim HaMishamshim Es HaRav, Al Manas Dekabel Pras, only applies to mitzvahs where a person is mechuyev, not to voluntary mitzvahs. Since, as Rashi says, Reb Zera would rise for the Talmidim, he was permitted, therefore, to ask for a reward, since really he was not halachically mechuyev to stand up for them. Reb Huna said that a person should not eat before davening Musaf, and Rabbi Yechanan said it's also for someone davening b'yechidus to daven before the time that the tzibur davens in shul. And the halacha is not like Rav Huna, i.e. after shachris he makes kiddush, and then he's allowed to eat, if he wants to, before musaf. The next Mishnah. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana used to say a tefillah katsara before he went to the Beis HaMedrash, and he also said a tefillah katsara before he left the Beis HaMedrash. When he went in, he asked that he shouldn't give a wrong psak, and when he left, he was mispal in order to give thanks to Hashem that he was zeicha to be a member of the Beis Medrash learning Torah. The Gemara. What does one say? I.e., what exactly is the nusach of this tefillah? And the Gemara gives the exact nusach. From the Lashon of the Gemara, Mahu Aimer, the Rambam paskens that this tefillah isn't just a nice thing to say, but rather a chiyuv to say. In leaving, we thank Hashem for the fact that we work, and regular people work, but we get schar and olam haba, and they don't. And the Chafetz Chaim explains in the words, Anu amelam, umekablam schar, vehem amelam, ve'enu mekablam schar, with a mashal, that if a shoemaker toils and makes shoes, but in the end they don't fit the owner, he worked hard, but he'll get no schar. But for Torah, the measurement of schar is amelus, how much effort a person puts in. And even if one works hard and doesn't come up with the big chiddush, he still gets a lot of schar for all of the amelus that he put in. When Eliezer got sick, his Talmidim came to visit him and receive his words of wisdom. He said, be careful in the kavod of your friends. Be sure your children sit among Talmidei Chachamim and don't just speak Dvarim B'Telem. When davening, be aware of who you're standing in front of. And if you do all these three things, you'll be zeicha to Olam Haba. The Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came to him when he was sick, and he gave them a bracha. And he said, Yirotzein shetehei meira shamayim aleichem kemeira basar vadam. The next Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel said every day when someone says tefillah, he says a complete Shmoneh Esrei, the 18 brachas. Our tefillahs, by the way, today have 19 brachas. Rabbi Yeshua says, he says me'ein yotches, an abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbi Akiva says, if someone is fluent in the words of tefillah, then he should say the full Shmoneh Esrei. But if he's not, he should say the shortened Shmoneh Esrei version. Rabbi Eliezer says, if someone takes his tefillah and views it as a burden, or doesn't have the proper kavana, that tefillah is not accepted. Rabbi Yeshua says, if someone goes to a dangerous place and cannot stop to daven Shmoneh Esrei, then he says a short tefillah. And the nusach of that tefillah is, Hoysha Hashem es amcha es she'eris Yisrael b'chol parashah so'ibur, yiyu tzvichehem lefonecha, baruch ata Hashem she'mea tefillah. If he is riding on a donkey and his man tefillah arrives, he should get off the donkey and say Shmoneh Esrei. If he cannot get off the donkey, then he can daven on the donkey, but he turns his face toward Yerushalayim. And if he can't turn his face, he should turn his heart toward Yerushalayim. And the Gemara asks, why 18 brachas in Shmoneh Esrei? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, it corresponds to the 18 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which David HaMelech said in Kapitel Chav Tes, Havu Lashem b'nei Kelim. Rashi explains that this parak represents the concept of the first three brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, Avos, Gvures, and Kedushas Hashem. Rabbi Yosef says that it corresponds to the 18 names of Hashem said in Kriyashma. And Rabbi Tanchum says it corresponds to the 18 vertebrae in the spine. The Gemara asks, why do we call it Shmoneh Esrei, 18? There are really 19 brachas. Rabbi Levi says the bracha of Olam Alshinim was really inserted later, and it was inserted in Yavne to deal with the tzedukim. Shimon HaPakuli was the one who arranged the Seder and the Nusach of the 18 brachas in Shmoneh Esrei while in the yeshiva of Yavne. And Rabbi Gamliel asked Shmuel HaKatan to be Mesakin a special bracha to deal with the tzedukim, V'la Malshinim, Alti Sikva, and for those who slander, there should be no hope. Daf Chavtas. If a Shliach Tzibor made an error, we don't take him away from the position of Bal Tfila unless he errs in the bracha of V'la Malshinim. If he errs there, we must be chayshish that he's a tzduki himself. Generally speaking, if a person is good his entire life, he will not become bad later on. The Gemara says on Shabbos, instead of 18 or the 19 brachas of regular Shmoneh Esrei, which we say during the week, we have only 7 brachas. The 3 at the beginning, the 3 at the end, and the 1 bracha in the middle, Mekadesh HaShabbos. And this is connected to 7 kailas that David brought regarding the Mayim, which is in Tehillim Chavtes. And on Rosh Hashanah there are 9 brachas. This is connected to 9 times that Chana said the name of Hashem in her tefillah. And Chana is connected to Rosh Hashanah. Since on Rosh Hashanah, 3 women who couldn't have children were remembered. Sarah, Rachel, and Chana. The Gemara says when in the Mishnah Rabbi Yeshua says, Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, the short Shmoneh Esrei, what does he mean? Rav says it's a kitzur of each of the 18 brachas. Shmuel says, we say Havineinu, the first 3 brachas, the last 3 brachas, and one in the middle called Havineinu, which summarizes the basic thoughts of each of the middle of the 12 brachas. But Abaye gave a curse to anyone who said Havineinu in Shmoneh Esrei, and he says that the person should only say it b'shas hadchak if it's impossible to say the regular Shmoneh Esrei. However, Havinenu cannot be said on Matzoy Shabbos or Matzoy Yontif, since at these times one is mechuyev to say Havdalah in Chaynin Hadas. Rabbi Yonah said that if the Chachamim were to formulate an abbreviated Havdalah phrase to be put in Havinenu on Matzoy Shabbos, it may bring someone to believe that Havdalah corresponds to its own independent bracha, which we know it doesn't. Havdalah is always put in Chaynin Hadas, it's not its own individual bracha. If someone in the winter forgot to say Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagasha, then he must repeat Hishman Esrei. But if he forgot Vesein Talamatar, if he remembers before Shema'at Tefillah, he can insert it in that bracha. If he remembers after that, then he has to repeat Shema'at Esrei. The Rishayim, by the way, say that if one remembers that he forgot Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagashem before the end of Machai HaMesim, he can insert it there. If one is Mesupik, if he said Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagashem, if it's during the first 30 days, then he must go back and say Shemon Esrei, because until he has said Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagashem for 30 days, he has a chazaka that he hasn't said it, which means if he's Mesupik, Mestama, he did not say it. If, however, it's after the first 30 days, then he has a chazaka that he did say it, then he doesn't have to go back. Of course, we should mention the Eitz of the Chai Adam, when this man, the time comes to begin saying Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagashem, or to begin saying Vesein Talamater, it's a good idea for a person to simply say the few words before Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagashem, say that 90 times to himself, so this practically will get him used to saying Mashiv Haruach Amir Hagashem, and then takes him out of this negative chazaka, but puts him in a chazaka of having said it for 30 days, or having said it 90 different times. The Gemara says that if a Matzoi Shabbos, however, one forgot Atachain Antanu, that he doesn't have to repeat the Shemon Esrei, since he can make the Havdalah of Atachain Antanu, he can make the Havdalah al HaKais, when he makes the regular Havdalah on the cup of wine. If a person on Rosh Chodesh or on Yontif forgot to say Al V'Yavai, if he remembers before the end of Shemon Esrei, he should go back to Ritzei. But once he stepped back and finished Shemon Esrei, then he must repeat the entire Shemon Esrei. This, of course, does not apply to the night of Rosh Chodesh. If the night of Rosh Chodesh on Maariv, in Maariv, a person forgot to say Al V'Yavai, then he does not have to go back. Otherwise, in any other Yal V'Yavai instance, if a person finished Shemon Esrei, he must go back and repeat the entire Shemon Esrei. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah to time one's tefillah at dimdumei chama, meaning that a person should say tefillah shachris by the Netzach Chama and mincha by shkia, since the eighth ratzon is at the highest point at that time. But in Marava, they curse the person who davened mincha at shkia, since by leaving it up to the last minute, he may come to miss the entire Zman mincha completely. The nusach of the tefillah ketzara, according to the Acherim, asks Hashem to help us with parnasa and give each person what he needs. Eliyahu told Rabbi Yehuda, don't lose your temper and you won't sin. Don't get drunk and you won't sin. And when you travel, ask reshus from your Creator and then you should go. This is referring to the tefillah sederach, which we say when we travel, even today. Daf Lamed. Tefillah sederach should be said b'loshen rabim. The beginning zman of tefillah sederach is when one starts to travel, i.e. after he gets at least 70 amas past the last house in town. And he can say it until he has traveled a parsa. The Gemara says, finally, all of Klal Yisrael is mispalel toward Yerushalayim, since this is the high point for all of Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Musaf is only said b'chaver ir, if there is a minyan in the city. The Chachamim say, even if there is no minyan. The Gemara says, the halacha is that a yachid does have a chiyuv to daven Musaf. Finally, Rabbanan Omar Rav says, if someone forgot to say Yal V'Yavai in Marav on Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have to repeat Shema Nesrei, since Bezdin only did Kiddush HaChodesh by day, not by night. And in fact, this is the halacha. If a person forgot Yal V'Yavai on Yontiv, then he always has to go back and say Shema Nesrei again. But if he forgot on Rosh Chodesh, by day, he has to go back. At night, he does not have to go back. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the fifth parak, Ein Oimdin. And the Mishnah says, when one davens Shemon Esrei, he should be in a state of humility. In fact, the Hasidim HaRishonim used to prepare themselves an hour before davening, so they would have the proper state of mind. And if a melech interrupts a person, even if a melech, one should not stop davening. Gemara. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says that we learn the inyan of Kavod Reish by Tefillah from the Pasuk which says, Ivdu Esh Hashem Biyira, the Gila Bir'ada. Tefillah should be said in a state of fear, and happiness should have a backdrop of trembling, i.e. b'makam gila, sham tehera ada, where there is joy, there should also be trembling, i.e. there should be a happy medium. The Gemara says, Marbre de Ravina made a chasana for his son, and he saw that the Rabbanim were unusually lighthearted, so he broke an expensive glass in front of them, so they'd get a bit more serious. Taisus at the top of Lamed Aleph says that this Maisa is the makor for our minig for the chasan to break a glass under the chuppah at a chasana. Daf Lamed Aleph. Reb Zeira said the Bnos Yisrael were machmer, even today, to observe 7 days of Zayin Nikiyim, of Nida or Zava, any time they see even a drop of blood, even if they just see a small drop, a tipas dam kechardel. The Gemara says one should not daven Shemona Esrei if they are ba'atzvus, if they're sad, ba'atzlus, if they're lazy, or kalas reish, lightheaded, but rather it should be done b'simcha shel mitzvah. The Gemara says when someone davens, they should have kavana, i.e. they should know what the words mean. The Gemara says, al yipater adam mechavera al mitoich dvar halacha, shemitoich kach zeichreyu. When a person leaves his friend, he should always finish with a matter of halacha, so that he therefore should remember him. Rabbi Akiva used to daven with the tzibur. He would shorten his tefillah so as not to cause tircha de tzibura, because they would really want to wait for him. But when he daven biyachidus, then he would say a long Shemoneh Esrei. From the tefillah of Chana, we learn many hilchas tefillah, including one should not say Shemoneh Esrei out loud, and one shouldn't daven if they are drunk. Chana prayed to Hashem to have a child, using the double term of imra tira. She pressured Hashem by threatening, so to say, to seclude herself with a strange man, so she would become a saita, have to drink the mei saita, be proven innocent, and therefore then be rewarded with a child. Finally, at a time of sakana, 3 areas of a woman's behavior are checked. Hadlakas neris, nida, and chala. Daf Lamed Beis. Because of the averus of Klal Yisrael, Moshe became weak and was unable to talk to Hashem, but eventually he regained his strength and said to Hashem, if you don't forgive Klal Yisrael, I will not leave you alone. The Lashon of Vayechal is a Lashon of Hachalehu, urging Hashem to annul the Gzeira of Hashem for the Egel Hazav. In the end, Hashem gave into Moshe's request, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha. Reb Simloi said, first someone should say Shvach to Hashem, then ask for his needs. And in fact, tefillah is even greater than just a person who has Maisim Tevim. Rabbi Yechanan said, any kohen who kills someone is not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim because it disturbs the Duchanim. If one has a broken heart, the best Eitzah is Torah. The Gemara says there are 4 things that need constant strengthening by a person. Torah, Maisim Tevim, tefillah, and Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means an occupation. There are 12 constellations, mazolais, in the sky. Each one has 30 hosts, which each have 30 legions, and within them are millions of stars. Finally, when davening, one cannot respond to a melech if he is Jewish, but if he's a non-Jewish king, he can respond because of pikuach nefesh. Daf Lamed Gimel, the next Mishnah. The mentioning of Geshem, Mashiv Haruach Umered HaGashem, is done in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim in Shemoneh Esrei, and the request of the Saint Talamotar is mentioned in the bracha of Parnasa, which is Baruch Aleinu. Finally, Havdalah is mentioned in Chayin Hadas. Rabbi Akiva says, Havdalah Atachan Antanu is a separate bracha. Rabbi Eliezer says, this bracha of Havdalah is mentioned in Maidim. Gemara. Geshem is mentioned in Tchias HaMesim, since it's on the same Madrega as Tchias HaMesim. Talumotar is mentioned in Baruch Aleinu, since Baruch Aleinu talks about Parnasa. And Havdalah is mentioned in Chayin Hadas, since it's a chachma to distinguish between different things. And since, also, it's a request for our week to come together with a bracha, we put it in the first bracha of Chol, which is Atachayinen. And Rabbami said, Deya is so chashav that it's put into Shemoneh Esrei as the first bracha. After Atachad is the regular basis, the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, the first of the brachas of Bakashas is Atachayinen. The Gemara says that originally, people made Havdalah only in Shemoneh Esrei, Atachan Antanu. Then, when Parnasa improved, they said that one should be Mavdal on wine. Eventually, the Tachana was to say it both in Maariv, but if one can afford it, he should also make Havdalah on wine. What if someone made Havdalah on a kais? Does he have to make Havdalah in Tefillah as well? Nachum Ben Yitzchak says, it's a Kal V'chaymer. If the Iker Tachana of Havdalah was in Tefillah, and if one says it in Tefillah, he still must be Mavdal on a kais. Kal v'chaymer, if one says Havdalah on a kais, which wasn't a takana, surely one must be Mavdal in Tefillah, where there was a takana. And Rav Acha Aricha added, one who mentions Havdalah in Tefillah is more meshubach, more praiseworthy, than one who says Havdalah on wine. I bet if one says it in Tefillah, isn't al ha-kais, a bracha al ha-kais, now a bracha shein et tzricha? Rava said that the halacha is just like by Kiddush. Even though you already said it in Shemoneh Esrei, Friday night, you must repeat it at home in a regular Kiddush, so too by Havdalah. Even though you already said it in Shemoneh Esrei, you still repeat it at home, al-Hakais, when you make Havdalah. The mitzvah, by the way, to recite Kiddush on Shabbos in the evening, is learned from the pasuk of Zachar Asyam HaShabbos Lekatshe, and from there we see, as Taisus in Psachim, Taf Kufa Maman Aleph says, that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Magen Avram, in Simon Reishayin Aleph, Sif Aleph, infers from the fact that our Gemara refers to Kiddush during Maariv, that one fulfills the d'oraisa of Kiddush during Maariv, by making the bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos. And the Kiddush that one says after Maariv, when he goes home, that's only Midrabbanan. The Gemara says, when Yontav falls on Motzai Shabbos, they were Mesakein in Bavel, that we add into the Shemona Esrei of Yontav a special bracha of Atay Dienu, which is the Havdalah that separates Shabbos and Yontav, placed in Shemona Esrei before Vatitein Lanu, the Mishnah. If one says, on the bird's nest Yerachamim exist, referring to the mitzvah of Kan Tzipor, or if he says, because of the good you've done, your name should be remembered, or if a person says, Maidim, Maidim, in all these instances, we say, Mishat Genoise, we silence him. And the Gemara says, by Maidim, Maidim, we silence him, because it gives the impression that there are two creators. And if a person says, for all the good you've done, that's not proper either, since we're supposed to thank Hashem for all that he's done, not just the good that he's done. Chayev Adam Levarech Al Hara, Kishem Shemavarech Al Hatayf. What's wrong if the person talks about Kan Tzipor, the Rachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the birds? The Gemara gives two terutzim. One terutz is because if a person says this, it implies that Hashem created the mitzvah just out of Rachamim, for a reason, because of Rachamim. And we know this would get people to believe that mitzvahs were created for reasons, and not all mitzvahs were created for specific reasons. Second terutz the Gemara gives is because it caused jealousy amongst other creatures. Rabbi Chanina said, HaKol bidei Shamayim chutz miyira Shamayim. Everything comes from Shamayim except Yira Shamayim, which a person decides on. Rabbi Chanina asked, Otu Yira Shamayim milsa zutrahi? Is the fear of Hashem such a small thing? For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a small thing. The Gabi Moshe, in the presence of Moshe, in his generation, it was easy to be a Yira Shamayim because of Moshe's influence. The Baal Shem Tov suggests that this alludes to the necessity of having a Rebbe. Yira Shamayim does not exist in a vacuum. He who doesn't have a Rebbe will not reach the heights of Yira Shamayim. Finally, the Gemara says, one who says Shema Shema, we silence him as if he said Maidim, Maidim. Daf HaMadalat, the Mishnah. A Shliach Tzibur who makes a mistake, for example, he skipped a bracha, if he is confused, we replace him, and the new chazan begins from the mistaken or from the deleted bracha. Beberchas Kainim, the Shliach Tzibur should not answer Amen after each of the words of the Kohanim. So he says Yivarechacha, the Kohanim say Yivarechacha, he says Hashem, the Kohanim say Hashem, V'yishmerecha, V'yishmerecha, while even though the Kohal says Amen after that, the chazan does not answer Amen because he may get confused. And if the Shatz is the only Kayin in the Shul, he should not duchen, since again he might get confused, unless he's very confident that he will not be confused. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kuf Chaf Ches Sif Chaf paskens that when there are other Kohanim in Shul who can do Birchas Kohanim, the Shliach Tzibur should not perform Birchas Kohanim, even if he's confident that he will not get confused. The Gemara. If someone is offered the opportunity to be a Baal Tefillah, he should first refuse, then eventually agree to be the Chazan. There are three things that a little bit of it is good, but a lot of it is not. Salt, leavening, and refusal. Rabbi Yaakov said, anyone who asks Rachamim for his friend does not have to mention the specific name of his friend in his tefillas. These are the brachas in Shemona Esrei when a person bows down. Avos at the beginning and the end, and the Haidah at the beginning and the end. And if he wants to bow on other brachas, we tell him not to, except a Kohen Gadol or a Melech, who get to bow more, i.e. the greater you are, the more humble you need to be before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next Mishnah. If one daven Shemona Esrei and makes a mistake, it's a bad sign for him. If a Shliach Tzibur makes a mistake, it's a bad simon for the Tzibur, since we say Shluchai Shladim Kamaisai. He's like everybody in the Tzibur, if he's their Shliach. The Gemara. One should try to have Kavana by all the brachas of Shemona Esrei, but at least by the brachas of Avos. Finally, when the Nevi'im prophesized about the future, it's referring to Yemais HaMashiach. But regarding Olam Haba, it was not revealed. And Shmuel said, "Ein ben olam hazeli amos hamashiach elashibud malchios bilvad." This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the sixth parak of Masechta Brachas, parak Ketan Mevarchin from Daf Lamed Hei. This parak will deal with birchas hanenin, brachas which are recited before having pleasure, and specifically the bracha Rishayna we say before eating food. Taisus explains that the reason the Mishnah begins with Ketan Mevarchin, and not with the fact that there is a chiyuv to make a bracha, is because it's pashut that a bracha must be said al pi svara. And the Mishnah asks, what bracha does one make before eating fruits? Mishnah answers, on peres se'ilan, peres which come from a tree, the bracha is bayre pri ha'etz. the one who created the fruit of the tree. Except for wine, we make a special bracha, Bari Pri HaGafen, the one who created the fruit of the grapevine. Rashi explains that grapes have a special bracha because of its special chashivas. On fruits of the ground, the bracha is Bari Pri HaDama, except for bread, where the bracha is Hamaitzi Lechem Min HaAretz, the one who brings forth the bread from the earth. On vegetable greens, the bracha is Bari Pri HaDama. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says the bracha is Bari Mine Deshaim, the one who creates grasses, which is a more specific bracha. The Gemara. From the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim in Vayikra Yotes, the Gemara darshins that we see one is mechuyev to make both a bracha rishena and a bracha achrena, the bracha before eating and a bracha after eating, when a person eats food. And from here, Rabbi Akiva said, it is also for a person to taste anything before making a bracha, even if he tastes just a masho. The halacha of neta revai, which is that peris must be redeemed in the fourth year, applies only to grapes, while Urla applies to all peris. And Be'emes, this is really what we use the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim to teach us. The Gemara says we can also learn the chiyuv of bracha rishayna from a kal v'chomer. If one is mechuyev to make a bracha achrayna, i.e. birchas hamazon, which is min ha-Torah, after one is satisfied, kal v'chomer before one eats, one is mechuyev to make a bracha as well. L'maskana, the reason we're mechuyev to make a bracha before eating, is based on svara. Asur lo adam shiyehena min ha-olam hazeh b'lei bracha. It's also for a person to be nehena from this world without making a bracha. I.e. it's not midaraisa, but rather it's a chiyuv midarabanan, which is based on svara. The only daraisa is in bracha achreina after eating bread, which is the birchas hamazon that we make, v'chalta, v'savata, uberachta. Regarding making a bracha achreina on the shivas haminim, this is a machlokes rishayim. The Rashba and Rabbeinu Yoina learn that a bracha achreina on the shivas haminim is a chiyuv midaraisa, while the Rambam, the Smag, and the Mechaber in Siman Reish Tes paskin that it's only midarabanan. The Gemara says it's osur to have hana from something without a bracha, and one who does this, it's like he was mile, and it's like geneva as well. And to avoid this possibility, one should go to a Talmud Chacham to learn which brachas one says on which foods. The pasuk in Kriya Shema says, "V'haya im shamaya, v'yasafta diganecha." If you listen, you will have the reward of gathering grain. Why does it mention asifa? Why not just say you will have grain? Why does it have to say v'yasafta diganecha? My answer is, since the pasuk in Yehoshua, Perek Aleph, says, "Lo yamush sefer Torah hazeh mipicha," we would think that a person isn't allowed to do anything but learn Torah, i.e. he's not allowed to have a parnasa. So the pasuk says, "V'yasafta diganecha," with the learning of Torah, one needs derech eretz, i.e. one needs parnasa, one has to make a shtadlus in order to earn a living. This is the drasha of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, if Klal Yisrael doesn't do the Ritzayne Shalmakam, they'll have to work for parnasa. But if they do the Ritzayne Shalmakam, they won't. I.e. Malach Dainasis Ayideh Acherim. And Abaye said, many did like Rabbi Yishmael. They did both Torah with Derech Eretz, and also Biyadim, they were Matzliach. And many tried to do like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, only Torah, but no Parnassah, and Loyal Salbiyadim, they were not Matzliach. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explains, which is brought in the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Ches, that most of the people who tried Rabbi Shimon's approach failed because most people are not capable of dedicating their lives entirely to studying Torah. However, there were some exceptional people who were capable of absolute dedication to Torah, and these individuals were matzliach with Reb Shimon's approach. The Gemara says the Dairis Harishainim made their Torah kva, their main goal in life, and their malacha was arai, it was secondary, and both things were successful. But the Dairis Achrainim, where it was malachton kva v'sairasai arai, where the malacha was the main thing, they were not matzliach. And the Mechaber and Simon Kufnun Vav Paskins, that after Beis Medrash and Beis Knesses, one should go to work, because kol Torah she'ein ima malacha, seifa betela v'gareres avay. Umikol makim, he says, lo yasa malachtai ikar. A person's malacha should not be ikar, ela arai. V'sairasei kva, the Torah should be the main thing. V'zeh v'zeh yiskayim b'yadei. If a person goes into it with that kind of approach, both of them he will be matzliachet. The Bir Halacha adds, however, that although the harbe who tried Reb Shimon ben Yochai, only all Torah, who weren't all Sabiyadim, that was only Harbe. But a few Yechidim, as we mentioned before, were big Talmidei Chachamim, and those were Matzliach if they could handle it. The Gemara says, well, when one has grains of Tevel, which now have a chiyuv of meiser, it doesn't become chayev to have meiser taken midaraisa until it sees the pnei habayis, i.e. it comes through the front door. Rabbi Yochanan says, its chiyuv begins even when it comes into the chatzar. In other cases, for example, if it comes through the back door, the chiyuv is only midarabanan, and it becomes osur achilas kva. The person is not allowed to eat it as sitting down in a suda, but it's mutar achilas arai, i.e. for example, to feed the animals, or for a small snack for the person to eat. The Gemara asks, why is yayin so special that it has a special bracha? The Gemara answers, it satisfies a person and makes him happy. The Gemara says the bracha on olive oil is bere priya eitz. But if it is the main ingredient in a food, for example, if one drinks a mixture of beet juice with olive oil, and he does this to soothe his sore throat, then he should also recite the bracha of bere priya eitz, since the olive oil is the primary ingredient. The ra'ah, which is brought in the Ramah, or a chayim simen reish dalad, sifchas, says that if one is forced to eat a food, then he doesn't say a bracha at all, even though he experiences some pleasure when he swallows the food. Still, one doesn't bless Hashem for food which was forced upon him against his own will. The Gemara says the rule is that when someone eats two items together, one which is an ikur and one which is a tafel, he makes a bracha on the ikur, and that patters the tafel. Tafel medvav. If someone has a sore throat, he can't take medicine on Shabbos for it. If it is nikur to people, that is for the purpose of refuah. But if it is not nikur, then it's mutter. For example, oil put into food, or a shot of whiskey, which a person drinks to clear his nasal passages, in that sense, it's mutter to do that on Shabbos. Taisus adds that if someone drinks something l'refuah, if it tastes good, then he must make a brach on it. But if it tastes bad, for example, bad-tasting medicine, or it has no taste at all, for example, water, then no bracha is needed. Rabbi Zeira said, if a vegetable, which is normally eaten cooked, is eaten raw, which is shalei derech hateva, then even though the bracha should be hadama, really, because it's a vegetable, but we say that the bracha drops the madrega, and the bracha becomes a shahakal. So, for example, flour, which is made from corn, is a bircha shahakal. Corn chips, for example, is a bracha shahakal. Potato flour, or potato starch, is also a bracha shahakal. So Pesach cakes, which are made with potato starch, would be a shakal. And Pringles potato chips, which are made with potato flour, would also be a shakal, even though it would seem that it's Hadama. But since it's eaten Shalaika Derech Hateva, it drops a Madrega and the Bracha shakal. If someone pulls a Kaira branch from the ground, Rav Yehuda says the Bracha is Hadama, since it comes from the ground. Shmuel says the Bracha is shakal, since in the end it will be inedible, because it hardens. And the Halacha is like Shmuel. If there is a Machlekes B'dvarim HaTluyes Ba'aretz, whoever is makel in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is like him in Chutz Laretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, we paskin like the machmir. The Gemara says, Safik Arla in Eretz Yisrael is Asr, since the chiyav of Arla in Eretz Yisrael is Menaraisa. But in Surya, Safik Arla is Mutter, since it's a Safik whether that's called Eretz Yisrael or not. And in Chutz Laretz, it's Mutter to eat from any tree, as long as he doesn't definitely know that it's from an Arla tree. The Gemara says, the bracha for the leaves and the berries of the Tzlach tree are bere pri hadama, since they're not the fruits, but are called the tree itself. But on the avyonis, which are the fruit part, and the kafrisin, the protective cover of the fruit, the halacha is that we make a ha'etz. Regarding chocolate-covered orange peels, the Mishnah Berurah brings three opinions. The Magen Avraham holds the brachas bere pri ha'etz. The Taz says the brachas bere pri hadama, and the Prima Gadim says the halacha is that we make a shahakol niyavidvare. The Mishnah Berurah is machriya like the Prima Gadim, since shahakal will really cover any of those three circumstances, at least b'di'evit. Normally, for something to be metame tumas eichlin, it must be a shear at least as large as a revius or kibetza. And only the fruit itself is mitzaref for tumas eichlin, not the protective cover of the fruit, which is called the shomer. During Shemitah, pears have a high level of kedusha and must be eaten. They're not supposed to be destroyed, because the pasuk says la'achla, and we darshan la'achla v'leila hefsid. And they reach the madrega of Paris, according to Beishame, as soon as they begin to grow, and you can recognize them as a tiny fruit. Beis Hillel says they reach the madrega of Paris a little bit later, i.e. after there's some significant growth for many fruits, for example, Beiser by grapes. If someone eats pepper, Reb Shesha says the bracha is shahakal, even though they grow on trees, but they're not commonly eaten by themselves. Pepper is not eaten by itself. Rava says there's no bracha at all, since it's not fit to be eaten at all by itself. And in fact, if a person eats pepper on Yom Kippur, he's putter, since it's not really considered food. Taisvis adds, however, that cinnamon would have a bracha of hadama, since it's sometimes it's eaten by itself. Regarding sugar, Taisvis says the bracha is bari pri ha'etz. Rabbeinu Yonah says the bracha is bari pri hadama. The Rambam says we make a bracha shahakol on sugar, since it's changed so dramatically from its original form. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, it's Simin Reish Beis, Sif Tezvav, but the bracha on sugar is, in fact, Shahakol. Rav and Shmuel gave us a general rule. Any food mixture which has one of the Chamishas Minei Dagan as an ingredient, the bracha on that item is Bari Minei Mizaynus, even if the Chamishas Minei Dagan are not the Iker. Normally, no, we go by the Iker, and whatever the Iker is within two products that are mixed together, that would carry the bracha. But by Chamishas Minei Dagan, we have a special exception, that if there's any little bit of Chamishas Minei Dagan within a tarubis of food, we still make a bracha of Mizaynus. Kol sheyesh bei mechamishas haminim mevarchan aleihem bari mina mezaynus, even if it's just part of a taruvus. Taisus adds that this Gemara, which says if you have any amount of flour from the chamishas minei dagan in the taruvus, the bracha is mezaynus, that rule only applies if the purpose of this flour in the product is latam, to give it good taste. But if its purpose is ladavik, only to help the grains stick together, as a texture enhancer or as a processing aid, then the bracha on the mixture is shahakol. This has an important nafgamina regarding cereals. For example, honeycomb and alphabets are mostly corn flour, which would really not be mezaynus. But since there's a small amount of chamishas minei dagan, they have some oat flour, and since oat flour is present, it's put in the mix, l'tam, in order to enhance the taste of the cereal, the bracha on alphabets and honeycomb would be mezaynus. However, Cocoa Puffs has corn flour, but a small amount of wheat starch. And even though wheat is from the Chamishas Minei Dagan, but wheat starch is only put into the cereal Ladavik for the purpose of dough consistency and to help the grains stay together. So for Cocoa Puffs, the proper bracha would be Shahakol, not Bar Mimin Zainis. The same halacha would apply to gefilte fish made with matzah meal. The matzah meal is only added to keep the fish from falling apart, i.e. for the purpose of Divuk, Ladavik. Here too, the proper bracha on gefilte fish would only be Shahakol and not Bar Mimin Zainis. The rule of kol sheyesh bei, if it has a little bit of the chameshes minei dagan, the bracha would be bayamim mezaynus, only applies to the chameshes haminim. But other grains, for example, oirez and daichen, like rice and millet, for example, would not have the bracha of mezaynus even if it's eaten by itself. The bracha achreina for the chameshes minei dagan is al michya, but for other things, the bracha achreina is bari nefashas rabbis. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds that oirez, rice, is considered a min dagan. So we consider it to be the sixth of the Chamishas Minei Dagan, and therefore if he eats it on Pesach, he's Chayev Karas. And if he uses it to make matzah, rice flour to make matzah, he's Yaitze Mitzvahs Matzah. But the Rabbanan argue, and say that only wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt are considered to be Chamishas Minei Dagan, but rice is not. If someone eats a kernel of wheat, the bracha is Bayer Pri Adama, since this isn't the normal way to eat it. But if it's cooked, Maisa Kedera, then we say the bracha is mezaynus. If it's made into bread, then the bracha is special hamoytzi lechem min haaretz. Lemaskana, the Gemara says that over oirez, the bracha is mezaynus. Taisus holds that oirez means rice, while Rashi holds oirez means millet. In the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Ches, Siv Zayin, the Mishnah Brewer brings a machlekes achreinim, if we should make a mezaynus on rice like Taisus, or a shahakol like Rashi, because according to Rashi, oirez is not even called rice. So therefore, rice as we know it would be a shahakol. La halacha, we generally make a mezaynus on rice, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Ches. However, since it doesn't have the chashivas of the chameshes minei dagan, the bracha achreina is not an alamichya, but rather the bracha achreina is just bari nefashas, which is really what makes rice special. And that on one hand, the bracha rishayin is bari mezaynus, the bracha achreina is only bari nefashas. The Gemara says anyone who eats one of the shivas minim, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, dates, pomegranates, and so on, Rabbi Gamliel says he must say Birchas Hamazon. The Chachamim say he makes a bracha achas mein shalish, the abridged version, which we know is the bracha called al ha'etz v'al pri ha'etz. If bread is grounded down into small pieces which are less than a kazayas each, and then they're cooked, the bracha goes from hamaitzi to mezaynus. Rav Sheshes argues and says the bracha is hamaitzi. But Rava says that's only if it's a tsurasa denahama, if it still looks like bread. If it doesn't look like bread, then the bracha is bare mine mezaynus. And la halacha, we paskin in Simen Kuf Samach Ches Sif Yud, that if it's bread pieces which are cooked, and the bread pieces are more than a kazayis, then the bracha is hamaitzi. If it's less than a kazayis, the bracha is mezaynus. If small pieces of bread are stuck together in a chavitza, then if it's more than a kazayis, the bracha is hamaitzi. If it's less than a kazayis, then it depends on if it's tsurasa denahama, if it looks like bread or not. Finally, if bread was untreated, but it was just ground up, Even if it's grounded into matzah meal, then the bracha is always hamaitzi. Daf lamed ches. If one eats kuba da'ara, these are cakes cooked in an oven which is sort of underground and they're not really bread-like, the bracha is mezainis. But if one is kevea su'uda with it, he uses it in place of bread in order to be the main part of the meal, then the bracha is hamaitzi, and afterwards one must make a birchas hamazon. And therefore it's also chayev and chala as well. Anything which could potentially have a hamaitzi on it, if it was bread, or if a person is kevea su'uda, or this is, for example, pasa babakisnin, then they're mechuyev, and it's mechuyev to take off chala from that food. Crushed fruit, which is called trima, is called fruit, and the bracha is bari pri ha'etz, since the fruit is still recognizable. The Rama in Simen Reish Beis, Sif Zayin, says that as long as it's not completely crushed, then the bracha is bari pri ha'etz. But if it's fully crushed and one cannot see the fruit, then the bracha is shahakal. A good nafgamina here would be applesauce, for example. Applesauce, if you could see pieces of apple fruit inside of it, then the bracha is ha'etz. But if it's ground up so much that it's just like a puree, and you can't see any pieces of apple, then the bracha is shahakal. Kuntres al-Daf brings the Trumas HaDeshen, brought in the Ramara, Chaim, Simen Reish Beis, Sif Zayin, who says that if a fruit is completely mashed to the extent that it no longer retains a trace of its original form or shape, then it's no longer considered a fruit, and one should recite the bracha of shahakal on it. However, if there are certain fruits which are commonly eaten in such an altered form, then those fruits retain their original bracha, even if they're completely mashed and are no longer recognizable. Reb Shlaima Zalman Orbach, brought in Shailos and Shuvas, Mincha Shlaima, Simen Sadek Aleph, Ois Beis, points out, according to this halacha, this Trumas Hadesha, the proper bracha for chocolate should be Bar Pri Eitz, even though the cocoa beans are completely ground and do not retain their original shape. Since the beans are grown specifically for the manufacture of chocolate, then they should retain the original bracha of Bar Pri Eitz. The Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Or HaChaim Chelek Gimel, Simen Lamed Aleph, however, writes that the proper bracha for chocolate is not Bar Pri Eitz, but rather Shahakol Niya Bidvare, and this is in fact the minig that we hold today, is to make on chocolate the bracha of Shahakol. Marbar Rav Ashi says that the bracha on date honey is Shahakol Niya Bidvare, not Bar Pri Eitz, because liquid that is released from fruit is not called the actual fruit, but rather it's just zeya balma, it's sweat, or the moisture of the fruit. The only fruit juices that are considered to be like fruit itself are the juices of grapes and olive, which we mentioned before, those are special cases. The Rashba adds that the juice of fruit is considered zeya balma only because most fruit is grown to be eaten whole, it's not grown to be drunk as juice. The Gemara says the special bracha for bread is hamaitzi lechem min ha'aretz, the one who has brought out bread from the ground. Rav Nechemya says the bracha is not hamaitzi lechem min ha'aretz, but rather maitzi lechem min ha'aretz, since he felt that hamaitzi means the future, not the past. Halacha is that we say the bracha of hamaitzi lechem min ha'aretz, since we say not only does hamaitzi mean the future, but it means the past as well. Vegetables, which are cooked, which is referred to in the Gemara as shlakais, have the bracha of hadama, the same bracha as they have before they're cooked. But this halacha was clarified. If normally it's a vegetable, which is eaten raw, so raw, the bracha is bari pri adama, but if it's cooked, the bracha is shahakal, since it becomes inferior, so the bracha drops a madrega. But if any vegetable, which is normally not eaten raw, when it is cooked, then the bracha is hadama. And if it's eaten both ways, for example, apples, which are eaten both raw and cooked, then the bracha is always bari pri ha'etz. Finally, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba used to, every 30 days, he would review what he had learned by his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechanan. Daf Lamed Tes. The shear needed for a bracha achreina is a kezayis, the shear of a zayis, of an olive, a full olive, an average size olive, including the pit inside. By the way, we should point out that this is the shear, b'chol ha'tarei kula. When we say kezayis, we're referring to an average size zayis, including the pit inside. This is regarding both eating as well as yisur. When we hear the shear kezayis, that's what we mean. Tosfos Divrei HaMaschil Botzar brings a Yerushalmi, which says that if one eats a beria, which is a full item, for example, a grape, even if it's a shear of less than a kezayis, he must still make a bracha achreina. But it's a suffix whether the Bavli agrees with this or not. So it's better not to eat a beria, which is less than a shear of a kezayis, because we're not sure whether we should make a bracha achreina or not. The Mishneh Berurah in Simen Reish Tezvav, Sifkot and Chaf, says that normally by a svek sveka, we go with the tzadim of the svek sveka, but not by brachas. So if, let's say, for example, one ate a few grapes, and he's misupik if he ate a kezayis or not, one may want to say that this sveka should be mechayev him to make a bracha, because we have two svekas. Number one, Did he eat a kazayas? If he ate a kazayas, then he is mechuyev in a bracha achrayna. And we have a second sveika. And even if there's no kazayas, he ate a berya. And a berya is a suffix whether you make a bracha achrayna or not. So with that sveika, maybe one should be mechuyev to make the bracha achrayna because you have a sveika. Kamash malan, we say that suffix brachas lahakel even overrides a sveika, which would be mechayev you. So even though there's a svek sveika which would be mechayev you, still in all, we say safek brachas lahakel even by a svek sveika, and therefore he would not make a bracha achrayna. If a person has two food items, which one should he make a bracha on first? If one is a hadama and one is a shahakel, so the hadama is first, since it's more chashev. But if we have items which are both of the same bracha, one makes on the item which is more chaviv to him. A cooked dish of beets and flour. If the flour is latam for the purpose of taste, then the bracha is mezainis, even if it's only a miut, as we mentioned before from the taisus. But if the flour is put in ladavek to hold the vegetables together, then the flour is considered tafel, and the bracha is hadama. This is the source of the taisus that we mentioned before on daf lamed and veis, that even though the chameshus mine hadagan is mezainis, but if it's put in for the purpose of ladavek, then we do not make a mezainis, we would rather make the bracha of the ikr. Rav Papa says, soup made from vegetables, the bracha is buried pri hadama. This particular Gemara is a Shaila in the Rishayim, brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Hei, Sif Beis, as to what exact conditions need to exist in order to make a bracha hadama. Reb Chiya and Rava said that when a person makes a hamaitzi, he should make the bracha before he's baitseya the bread, before he breaks the bread. Reb Chiya Barashi says he can make the bracha even after he cuts the bread. And the halacha is like Rava, that mevarech v'achar kach baitseya, first the person makes the bracha. Taisva says, he should really cut a little bit before making the bracha, but it should still remain shalom. Then he should make the bracha, and then he should cut it fully. The first little perforation is to minimize the hefsik between the bracha and the cuts. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Aleph. If one has some broken large pieces of bread, and one small shalim, a complete piece of bread, it's a machlekes which one gets the bracha. Our minhag is to make the bracha on the shalim. I.e. here the question is which is more chashev. But if one is made out of wheat and one is made out of barley, the wheat one gets the bracha, since that's more chashev. If someone takes off truma and there is a kain present, he should be tirem min hayafa, he should take off from the best. But if there's no kain, he should take from grains which will last the longest. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in this case, we say he has to be tirem min hayafa. On the night of Pesach, all agree, even Rabbi Yechanan, who holds shlema min hamufkar, the shlema is the more chasheva one, that on the night of Pesach we make the Birchas Hamaitzi not only on the Shlema, but on the Prusa as well, the broken matzah as well, which is what we took off the Afikaimen. Even the bracha has to be on that matzah as well, since the Pasuk says Lechem Ayini, and since a poor person eats broken bread, not whole bread, the bracha has to be both on the Shlema as well as the Prusa. Taisus here brings Arminik today from the Ri, who says we make Hamaitzi Lechem Min Haaretz on all three matzahs, since we need the top matzah and the bottom matzah as lecha mishnah, and the middle matzah as prusa. And then we drop the bottom, the third matzah, and we're left with the top two matzahs. We make the bracha of al achilas matzah for the mitzvah on the top and the middle matzah, which is both the shlema as well as the prusa. And we're batzea from both the top and the middle matzah, and we eat from both of those as well. Finally, Rabbi Abba said that on Shabbos, one is mechuyev to break bread on two chalas, since by the month it says lecha mishnah. Friday they got a double portion. Therefore, we have to cut two chalas on Shabbos as the Lecha Mishnah. Rabbi Kahana took two breads, but he only cut from one of the breads, which is in fact our minhag today, that we have Lecha Mishnah to make the bracha, but we only cut one of the two, or at least one of the two. We're not mechuyev to cut actually both of them. Daf Mem. Normally, if one speaks between the time he makes the bracha and he takes the bite out of the bread, he must repeat the bracha. But if one says something which needs to be said, which is relevant to the cutting of the bread, then that's not considered a hefsek, and he does not have to repeat the bracha. So, for example, if one says, take the bread, this is not called a hefsek, because it's relevant to the discussion. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if one says, get salt, that's also not considered a hefsek, and he does not have to repeat the bracha. Rabbi Shesha says, even if he says, feed the animals, this is as well okay. This is relevant, since the pasuk said a person is supposed to feed the animals before he eats. However, in all these instances, this is only b'di'evet. L'chatchila, one shouldn't be mafsik to ask for the salt. He should try to have the salt there before he makes hamaitzi. Taisus adds that it's good to put salt on bread, since it protects us. The shulchan is equal to the mizbeach, and if you put salt on it like you did on the karbanos, it's a protection. And this, in fact, is our minig, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Hei. The Chai Adam in Klal Chav Hei, Sif Tes, applies the concept of our Gemara in terms of Hefsik to one who erred in Shmon Esrei. For example, he forgot Mashiv Horocha Meredagasha, and he doesn't know the halacha. Based on our Gemara, the Chai Adam allows him to leave his place and get a sefer in order to check the halacha. Since this is necessary to enable him to continue davening, going to get the sefer is not considered a hefsik, the same way that saying, I need salt, is not considered a hefsik between the bracha of hamaitzi and eating of the challah. The Gemara says, if a person drinks a lot of water, he will not come to intestinal disease. Finally, in our Mishnah, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, i.e. on all vegetables we make a bari pri adama, and we do not make the bracha of bari mine deshaim. The Mishnah. If one says on peres ha'ilan, the bracha bari pri adama, he's yaitse, since hadama really applies to fruits as well. It also comes from the ground. But vice versa, if a person makes on a vegetable the bracha of bari pri ha'etz, then he's not yaitse, since bari pri ha'etz doesn't apply at all to a vegetable. It doesn't come from a tree. But on all food, if someone said the bracha of shahakol b'diyavid, then he's yaitse, since everything was created by his words, which is what shahakol niya b'dvarei means, really everything, including fruits, vegetables, and so on, that would apply to. So b'diyavid, a person is yaitse if he makes a shahakol on anything. The Gemara. What kind of tree did Adam HaRishon eat from? Rameir says from the grapevine, since only wine brings woe to people. Rav Nechemya says from the fig tree. Rav Yehuda says from wheat. Wheat brings das. The Eitz Hadas is what we were talking about. The Rama, in Siman Reish Gimel, Sif Beis, says the key criteria for Peres is that if the branches remain from year to year and produce fruit, then the bracha is Bari Pri Eitz. But if only the roots remain, but the branches do not remain, then the bracha is Bari Pri Adama. And this, for example, would apply to strawberries and bananas, where since only the roots remain, but not the leaves and the branches themselves, therefore, the bracha on those, even though technically they would seem like they come from a tree, the bracha from on those would be bari pri hadama. Although the Mishnah says, but the eved, if shahakol is said on anything, he's yaitze, but if he makes a shahakol on pas or yayin, then he's not yaitze, even but the eved. Rabbi Yochanan says, even pas of yayin, he's yaitze. Rameir says, if one changes the nusach of certain brachas, for example, instead of saying hamaitzi lecha min aretz, he says something similar to that, he's yaitze. Rabbi Yaisi said anyone who changes the nusach of the chachamim is not yaitze at all. Finally, Rav said that if one said a shortened birchas hamazon, brich rachmana mara dahai pita, then he's yaitze with the first bracha of birchas hamazon, even if he said it not in lashon hakodesh. Rabbi Yochanan said one must also add malchus, since any bracha which doesn't have malchus is not called a valid bracha. Amir Tzasham on the next tape will continue with the Mishnah here on Daf Mem Amud Beis, which will begin the discussion of the halachas of Birchas Shahakol, but at this point we will conclude our shir.